I would like to talk to some of us this morning, and I'm not going to put an age designation on it that says, you know, you have to be this old before you can hear this message. But, you know, there's some stuff coming up for all of us, for the children especially. I was thinking of some of the ones that are kind of getting into, you know, 10, 11, 12, and 14 years old and stuff like that this morning. And I just thought, you know, it's not going to be too long before these children, and before you children are going to be heading off maybe to college or getting married, or, you know, I think about it and I just go, I see all of these kids here, and in about 10 years from now, if the Lord doesn't return before then, some of these children are going to be married or in college, out of the house. And, you know, for some of us parents, we're just going, it seemed like just yesterday they were born. But the time will fly. And kids, I want you to know that God's got a future for you, but I want you to understand that there's some things, maybe this is just something on my heart for you, you know, in the way of preparation for the future. First of all, it's coming sooner than you think. You think, you know, if I could only get to be 16 so I could drive a car, or if I could only, you know, be old enough for this or that or the other thing. But it's all going to happen pretty quickly. But the thing that I wanted to talk to you about this morning was the fact that there are things that are coming into your life and into your life experience that may be hard, may be difficult. You may be approaching something, you know, even the whole thing of going to college or being away from home. There's going to be some hard times. And when you're in a place where you can't run to mom and dad for the help that you need, where are you going to run then? You know, are you going to be able to, are you going to have that relationship with God, that relationship with Jesus, that would be your first instinct to run right to Him and say, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your strength. Help me through this time. Because as you've heard many, many times before, the Christian life is a battle. You know, the walk that we have, I mean, there are times of victory, but there are a lot of times of fighting and struggling and warring against the devil is out to do something, to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to sidetrack you. He wants to derail your life. And he's got his plans in motion too, but God does too. And I think what we need to do is understand that there are attacks that will come, that there are hard times that may come, difficulties, whether there's sickness or loss of loved ones or other kinds of things that will happen in our lives. And what are we going to do then? Are we going to be able to stand? Are we going to be able to hang in there and make it? You know, I've seen a lot of adults make professions of faith, and they were like the seed that got planted into the ground, and they grew up, and the thorns and the other things came up, and or they were just in that ground that had the rocks in it and everything, and they didn't really, they kind of grew up real fast, but when the trials came, they fell away. And I don't want our kids to be that way. I don't want your kids to be that way. I want you to be able to, when you're growing up, and when the problems come and the attacks of the enemy, that you would know what to do, that you'd know where to turn. Amen? David says, I don't remember which psalm it is. Some of you might remember this one. But it says, when your father and your mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up, David is talking about. And sometimes I've read that verse and I thought, well, my father and mother didn't forsake me, but in a sense, there's a time when my father and mother aren't around anymore to protect me, to go with me, to help me with things. My father actually passed away about 2 years ago, so he's not around at all to help me if I need a help with something. But there is coming a time when you're going to have a source of strength that's not just mom and dad, and it's not just the people at church. Amen. You're going to need that source of strength that is God alone. Amen. So these attacks, let me just go through a couple of ways that the enemy is going to try to attack you. And I think it's not to scare you. I don't want to get any of our young people here worried and afraid, but I want you to be warned and understand that there are things that are going to come. There are temptations that are going to come. Temptations to compromise. When somebody says, it's just a little thing. Oh, it's no big deal. What will you do then? Will you know that right is right and wrong is wrong? Will you stand strong even when everybody else says, ah, everybody's doing it? There's the temptation to sin, but in compromise or to rebel, to say, I don't wanna, I ain't gonna. You know, that's rebellion. We might hear that sometimes toward our folks, but even toward God. And I'll tell you what, big people do the same thing. They read God's word, they know what it says, and they say, it's too hard, I don't wanna, I can't, I'm not gonna. Now, God'll forgive me. God'll just somehow let that one slide. And that's rebellion. That's what that is. There's the temptation to be selfish. I don't think you ever get too old to be free of that temptation of selfishness. What's in it for me? What can I get out of it? You know, it's all about me. The temptation to selfishness is just the opposite of what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to be selfless, to be thinking about others before ourselves. How about the temptation, I put in my notes here, not to make waves. Well, you don't want to stir things up. You don't want to make waves. You don't want to be too bold. You don't want to be telling people about Jesus, especially your relatives or something like that, because then they're all going to think you're kind of nutty and kooky, and you know, you're going to stir things up and get people upset and mad at you or whatever. But Jesus wants you to make some waves. Amen? He wants you to walk on the water, but he wants you to make some waves and to be bold for him. You know, it's one thing to be a Christian who just comes to church and sits there and does nothing and just goes, praise God, and they pray when it's time to pray, they sing when it's time to sing, and they go home and they just kind of live a mediocre Christian life and just, you know, but there's nothing bold, nothing different about them, nothing like the Bible calls a peculiar people. And peculiar isn't necessarily weird or stupid. Peculiar means different enough that people notice you and say, there's something about that person. You know, one thing about them, I may not agree with their Christianity, but they sure are committed to that Jesus that they keep talking about. You know, wouldn't that be, that's what we'd want people to say about us. I believe it would. But there's a temptation to back off, a temptation not to say anything. One of the other attacks that the enemy will use against you, besides all of those various temptations, that and more, is ridicule and rejection. When you begin to live for Jesus, when you begin to be bold for him, the Bible says that there is persecution for the righteous. Amen? It will come. Now, maybe it doesn't happen every day, but if you stand up for Jesus and you say, you know what? God's word says that I shouldn't bow down to anybody but him, and I'm not going to worship your idol. I'm not going to do what you want me to. We will be rejected by the people of the world. They'll say, well, you know, that's not that big a deal. We'll be rejected for our views. Oh, you're one of those fundamentalist Christians, Bible-believing, born-again types, huh? You know, we don't have to apologize for that, by the way. I mean, maybe they're lumping us together with some people that they've met who really do fall into the category of weird, all right? But that's not who we are. We're the people of God. We're the bride of Christ. We're loved and cared for by him, by God himself. We're his very own. And you know what? They may ridicule us now, and they may look at us now and say, they're just a weird group, some kind of a cult. But you know what? There's coming a day when God is going to stand there with us and say, that one's mine. And all of those others that were ridiculing us will be looking on, and they'll be filled with shame because they ridiculed God's own, God's elect, God's special children. Amen. What happens, you know, the enemy does come in other ways, and this is something I was thinking about. Quite often we hear of young people graduating from high school and going off to college somewhere, and you know what? If your faith is not settled and established by that time, it can be shaken. And I'll tell you, you may say, well, nah, I don't think so. What happens when, you know, the people in your school or when your college professors who don't believe in God, in fact, are antagonistic toward Christianity, what happens when they begin to ridicule you? What happens when you will get lower grades on your papers because you believe in Jesus? What happens? What happens when they ask you questions like, well, if God is such a loving God, how come he lets this happen and that happen? How come good people die? And how come there's wars? And how come there's this? And how, you know, the enemy will try to shake our faith. He will. He'll try to shake our faith with all sorts of things. What about all of the contradictions in the Bible? In the Old Testament, it says an eye for an eye. In the New Testament, Jesus says, pray for your enemies and turn the other cheek. You know, how do we understand all of that stuff? I'll tell you what. I'm not going to try to explain all of that here this morning, but I'm saying you need to get some of those questions answered ahead of time. And you need to be established in your faith so that when somebody says, well, if God's such a loving God, we can answer back and we say, but God is not just loving, he's also merciful, but he's also just. And God's not a liar. Most people will agree with that. Anybody who acknowledges that there is some God somewhere, you know, even if it's some tree or something that they worship, they'll still acknowledge that God's not a liar, all right? And if God says, this is what I'm going to do, I will judge, I will punish the wicked, sin's going to be dealt with, you know, justice has to be done. When people say, well, how could a loving God do that? Well, he's not just a loving God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a truthful God. He's a just God. Amen? And how could a loving God let all of these things happen? Well, there's an enemy running around this world trying to steal, kill, and destroy, and there's a lot of people giving in to him and just saying, okay, whatever you say, devil. I mean, they're not saying it that way, but they're giving in to their own selfishness. So what happens when those hard questions come? I thought of a couple verses that just had to do with the way people think and the way God thinks, and they're very different. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, how much higher is the heavens than the earth? It's pretty high up. How much higher are God's thoughts than our thoughts? So sometimes people will ask silly questions. I mean, to God they're silly questions. How could a loving God allow this to happen? You know? But they're silly questions because God says, you know what? You're not thinking like I do. You don't see what I see. You don't understand it from my point of view. Ezekiel 18:29, a similar thought here. Ezekiel the prophet is speaking to the people of Israel. He says, yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. You know, the people of God themselves were complaining, saying, God's not fair. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? You know, God is saying, wait a second, I'm the fair one, I'm the just one. It's people who have it all messed up. The devil's got them thinking that, you know, well, we'll just let everything slide. Everything's okay. Anything goes. So what's it going to take? I thought about three things. I know this is going to be a little bit of a shorter message this morning, but I just want to, you know, I'm aiming at a target, at a one spot here, and I'm saying, you need to be prepared for the future. You need to understand that those attacks of the enemy are going to come. But what is it going to take for us to stand with the Lord, to stay with him, to stay connected, to stay on fire for him, even when no one around us is, when we've got no support necessarily from the people around us, even when some of the people around us who we thought were with us end up coming against us? I tell you what, children, this is probably one of the hardest lessons you will ever learn. When someone who you thought was friends or was, you know, even a Christian and really on fire for God, when they turn their back on you or even do you wrong and do you harm or slander you, say things about you, I'll tell you what, some of the deepest hurts that we'll ever experience as Christians are going to be from those who we thought were on our side. And maybe we've even been a part of that sometimes. Maybe we have done things and said things to others that have caused them great pain. But I tell you what, in that, God is going to teach you how to love like you've never learned it before. When you're hurt by people who are so close to you, and you can come out of it and still love them, and still pray for them, and still say, like Jesus did on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you can learn that lesson, I'll tell you what, you can get through just about anything that the devil or life itself has to throw at you. So what's it going to take? It's going to take grace. Number one, I've got three things here. Grace, power, and faith. That's what it's going to take. You want to stand with God? when nobody else is standing with you, when you have to stand alone. And there will come times that you're going to have to stand alone. Every Christian is going to have to face a time when it seems like nobody's with me. Amen? Even Elijah, after his big Mount Carmel experience, you know, wiped out the prophets of Baal, and he goes off to the desert. Jezebel is threatening his life, and he's just going, he's kind of in a woe is me place. Woe is me. Nobody but me is serving God. And God had to remind him that he's not the only one. God will remind you of that, but there are times when it's going to seem like you're all by yourself. Amen? But you need grace. The Word of God says He gives grace to the humble. How do you get grace? Humble yourself before God. He gives grace. You can't make it, you can't manufacture it, but you can get it. God will give it. He gives grace to the humble. Amen? We need the power of God. We need the power, the anointing of God. The power He gives by His Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, I think it's in your bulletin, the very top line there. It says, you who are evil, you know, people who will give good gifts to their children, but how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And what did Peter say the day of Pentecost when he was preaching to the multitudes? He says, this promise is for you and your children and your children's children and to those who are far off, this gift of the Holy Spirit, this gift of salvation. Amen? That's for us, and that's for our children. That's for you young people. The Holy Spirit stuff is not for old people. It's not for somebody who's earned it somehow by walking in a holy way with God and doing everything right. Amen? The Holy Spirit is available to those who ask. And I should say, available to those who ask, available to believers. The Holy Spirit's not available to an unbeliever. Amen? There are different spirits for them. And they're not holy. And faith. What's it going to take to stand? Grace, power, and faith. Faith. Trusting God when everything around you says, no way. When everything around you says, God's not going to come through. God's not going to help out. God's word isn't true. I was reading something earlier this week. God led me to begin some of my daily reading stuff that I read. And I decided to start through the book of Job again. And I'm just reading all of this stuff about Job and all of this, the problems that he's going through. And I'm just going, but God, you even pronounced this guy to be blameless. And, you know, he's one of your best servants. And then I read Psalm 91, and I'm just going, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, and, you know, all of this protection and all of this blessing that is supposed to be for those who are dwelling. And I thought, God, how do I understand all of this? And yet, I believe there is a way to understand it. First of all, I believe Job is a lesson for all of us, a lesson that God is sovereign, and that even when everything around us looks pretty dark, you know, by the way, the end of the book for Job, it all worked out. There was a trial. There was a time of testing. Amen. It's not like that we're not going to be tested in one way or another. Some of us may go through very great trials, some just little things here and there, but what we need is faith. Something that Job began to waver in, kind of in the middle of the book of Job, but in the end, God spoke to him and said, where were you when I created all of this? You know, who made this and who made that? And God was displaying His awesome power and His greatness, because Job began to think, well, God, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done anything wrong at all. And sometimes we're in the middle of trouble and we're just going, but God, I've been serving you. I haven't been doing anything wrong. Why is this all happening? And you're going to have questions, but you know what will get you through? Grace, power, and faith. You know what? I don't care what's going on. The Word of God says that He works all things together for good for those who love Him. And I'm just going to keep loving Him, keep serving Him, keep trusting Him, even when everything around me says, this is nuts. Why are you doing this? When the world tells us it's crazy to follow Jesus, I mean, I was reading Psalm 73 this week. Asaph is talking to, basically saying, you know, I saw all of these rich people and all these people who are well-to-do, the godless people who are, you know, wandering around and they're healthy, they're happy, they got everything, they got it made. God, it just, you know, I could almost hear him saying, you know, it just doesn't seem fair, God. Here I am serving you. he came to the place in here where he said, you know, I saw their end. I saw their destiny. And I'll tell you what, children, if we can look at our destiny is heaven. Our destiny is to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever. And what's going on in this life isn't really that big a deal. You know, it may seem big at the time, but it's not. So he was contemplating all of these things, you know, these people who just kind of seem to be getting away with everything. And they're not even serving God. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Then one day I went into your sanctuary, O God, and I thought about the destiny of the wicked. You know what? There's a payday coming. There's a destiny coming. Truly, you put them on a slippery path, and you send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed and swept away by terrors. I'm going to skip down a little bit here. I was so foolish and ignorant, I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet, I still belong to you. You are holding my right hand. See, he's operating now in faith. God, even though it seems like everything, you know, that I'm seeing is just not right, it's all kind of turned upside down, you will keep on guiding me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. That's where we're headed, a glorious destiny. So kids, you don't need to falter in, you know, when the world is against you, Jesus is still for you. And if all you have is Jesus, you have enough. Amen? If you got Jesus, you've got enough. If you don't have Jesus, and you've got everything else, it's still not enough. You don't have a glorious destiny. So this is, like I said at the beginning here, kind of a warning and a, you know, how am I going to stay strong for the future? How am I going to continue serving God and walking with Him? You just stay with Him. Stay trusting. Operate in grace. Humble yourself before Him. And be aware of the attacks of the enemy, the temptations that will come, the things that he'll do to try to sidetrack you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand this. I just want to pray this morning, and as we're concluding, we're going to do one song yet before we finish up here. But as we finish up, if you have a prayer need this morning, maybe you've got a prayer request that says, you know, I want to stay strong. I don't want to fall away. I want to stay with Jesus. I want to keep on walking with Him. You can come forward and we'll pray together, pray for you. If you have a need, a physical need or some other kind of a need that you'd like prayer for, you can come up for that. And if you don't want to do that, you can still write it down on a prayer request. But why don't we pray together right now? Let me just hold your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray that you would help us to stay strong. Help us to walk with you. Lord, I'm thinking of my sister Kathy over here this morning. Lord, been through quite a trial. And even the people that she thought she could trust, Lord, have let her down. But you haven't let her down, Lord. You're a strength and a shield for her. Lord, we just pray that you just give us all strength. Just give us all strength, oh God. Help us, Lord, to walk with you in holiness and in purity. Help us, Lord, to have your grace in our lives. Help us, Lord, to have your power in our lives. Help us, Lord, to trust you and trust what you say. Not what everybody else is saying and not what our eyes are telling us or what our ears are telling us, but what you say, God. All things work together for good. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're living in an exciting day and a great time in history. And so, Lord, we don't want to falter. We want to be vessels for you. We want to be servants of yours. We want to serve you. Lord, we don't want to just be sitting on the sidelines watching it all happen. We want to be a part of the action. So, Lord, keep us strong. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.